Yud Tammuz, Tuesday the 4th of July, Rabbi Moshe David Spiro, Coffee with a Difference on Shabbos.
Good morning, my Rabbi Isai. It's Bashus, I'm arguing day after day after day, manage to produce a high quality shiur, get the right people, and reminds me of a chazal. Everybody knows what's one of the main mitzvahs in the Torah, but there's another medrash which says no. The main mitzvah is the obvious question is what's so important about kol in the morning, kol tom in the afternoon. How does it compare to after l'racha k'moicho? The answer is this shiur, this kviyas here, the regularity, the day after day after day. Somehow the ma'agidim produce and manage to get the right people, the right chachom, to produce a shiur. But in economics they say that the demand creates the supply, and the demand, that is you. Now, our topic today is coffee. Coffee in general and coffee with a difference. A new type of coffee, as I'll explain. I want to stress, I'm not going to give you an answer. Can you do it on Shabbos? Can you not do it? That you have to ask your Rav. My hope is that after this year, it will be a Sheilas Chochem. We have a knowledgeable question. And your Rav will provide the answer. We proceed on a number of assumptions because of the shortness of time, and we go then into the main subject. First assumption, colouring. Is there any sort of colouring on Shabbos? Is there any sort of...
Yes.
Of course. What about colouring food? We take on, al pidin, but if you rub it, rub it, there's ain't svir ba'oichrim. So the fact that water is coloured by coffee, etc., does not matter. Secondly, we take on, in this particular case, you start with coffee powder, you end up with a drink. It will not be called makke bepatish boichlem. Makke bepatish means you produce a keli. The finishing a bank is a malocha. But to change coffee powder into a drink is not considered a malocha. And Mishabur takes on, and we are locha, that there is ein makke bepatish boichlem. So our topic is just bishul. How can you put it in hot water? Surely you are cooking the coffee. And the new type of coffee, we'll see in a moment, is a bigger problem. So there's the first of all, the facts. For decades, we have had instant coffee. It's produced from genuine coffee beans. But I can assure you that what you see here, that powder, is not a coffee bean, not even part of a coffee bean, not at all. What they do is they cook the coffee, it steams, and then lead the steam through cooling pipes, and the steam from cooking the real coffee bean solidifies, and that is what basically what you have here in your coffee jar. Why do they do that? Why don't they take normal coffee beans, cook them up? Because unfortunately they won't dissolve, and people don't enjoy coffee with those bits of coffee bean floating around in the water. That's why the firms decades ago, or maybe longer, they devised this idea you can manage to get the taste, be coileted in the zeo, in the steam, and then you have the advantage that the coffee powder dissolves. The disadvantage, as far as the firm is concerned, is it's not as strong as the real thing. You say in the Welt, you know, we say an imitation is never the real thing. At the end of the day, it's only made from the steam. So fairly recently, a coffee firm, I was told it's Starbucks, in 2009, introduced what they called whole beans instance. And the chacham is as follows. They take proper coffee beans. They roast them. It's important to note they don't cook them, they roast them. And they become then much softer. They then grind them. Yeah, they then grind them. I'm coming to your point, Robert. And they then grind them. And then they mix it with the old type of coffee beans. Roughly about 10% of this jar is called barista-style coffee. It's got other names as well. They are 90% in the jar is the old type of coffee made from steam, and 10% is a new type, which is made from the real thing. And the chokhmah is, I don't know how they manage, but the bits of the real coffee bean don't float about in the water. Why is that? It sinks, it doesn't.
They put mamisha mashu, who roasted ground coffee.
Yes.
And roasted ground, it does float to the top of very, very little, because it's probably not even 0.05% of the rest of the coffee.
They claim it's about 10%.
Over masses.
Mr. Thomas. I'm not the shaker.
You see it in the cup. You see it in the cup at the end.
It settles at the bottom, that's right. Now, first of all, the normal type of coffee. What was your question, sir, before?
Spray dry, I've been in coffee for over 35 years.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So spray dried coffee is produced from roasted coffee.
Yes.
Coffee, you said before.
How is it roasted? Like an oven?
Like a roaster.
Is it also cooked in water? Is it also cooked in water as well?
It's then transferred into a spray dry tower.
Yeah.
And the steam, when the steam hits the it then obviously turns into a liquid.
Yes.
Yeah. After the roasting, it's turned into a liquid, and then the liquid is transferred to a spray dry tower.
Yeah.
And by the time it comes to the bottom, it's done.
So it's roasted and cooked in halakhic terms.
Yes.
The new one, called the barista style, is not cooked at all. It's only roasted. It's an important point. The old type of coffee is cooked in its production in the factory. The new type is also baked. Only baked. Yeah. Now, when you take this coffee on Shabbos, put it under or subject to hot water, why are you not over on Bishl? Simple question, really simple answer. Ein Bishl, Acha Bishl. The local coffee expert told him immediately, Ein Bishl, Acha Bishl. So it doesn't matter whether you put it in Kelishin, Kelishin, or Kelishishi, you will never be over Lechoyre, Mina Teure, on Bishl, because Ein Bishl, Acha Bishl. They're not considering at the moment the Drabonans. Now, there is a klal in any case that Nikeli Sheini condiments of mutter. The question is whether coffee would be considered a condiment. It's actually Machloikis, Tim Shlomo Zalman, and Ramoshe Feinstein. But the coffee has been cooked anyway, so ein bishel ach bishel. Aber Eider, in the Ha'oros Moshna Koidish, in his Sefer, objects to what you just said. Everybody is shouting, ein bishel ach bishel. He says, first of all, by pouring the water into the cup, you finish off the cooking. From the factory on, a kindness, it's not fully cooked. It's compared to what the Ocha Shulchan says about tea leaves. Even if they are cooked in the Far East in his days, that doesn't yet make them edible. When you then locally put them into hot water, you make them edible. So he, Shimon Eider's Goyen Vrocha, wants to compare the coffee to the Ocha Shulchan's tea leaves. And therefore he says it's not ein bishel acha bishel, because the first stage was not proper bishel. Rabbi Leo Falk, by the way, what I'm saying is the Tamtzis of a Tshuva of Rabbi Falk was printed in Koila Teure, and it's accessible on Oitzah Chochma, I'm sure. Maybe one or two extra hours, but the Tamtzis Hadvon is from Rabbi Leo. Rabbi Leo Shlite, kindness, and that is not convincing. It is true, when you put coffee into hot water, obviously it tastes better than into cold water. If you manage to remember your yeshivish yawn, you wanted to actually wake up, then you could just take coffee, put it in cold water, and it'll do the job. But it won't taste the same. So with your times, that doesn't mean the coffee is not being cooked. It has been cooked, but it's mit stomach v'yofeloi. In other words, it does improve, does benefit from putting into hot water. But it doesn't mean it's uncooked, inedible before that. So therefore, soft calls soft, and I think it's very convincing, this kind of, the coffee has been cooked in the factory. And the fact that it gets better when you put it under hot water doesn't mean it hasn't been cooked. There are many things which are fully cooked, and there's a lot of them with stomach, True, the more you cook it, the better it gets. And but it doesn't mean that before 10 hours it's not being cooked. It could be cooked after 2 hours, the dogma. And yet when you carry on cooking it, it's with stomach for your fellow. The same thing with the old type of coffee. Reb Shimon Aida Tain is the second Tainer. He says that the factory doesn't only cook the coffee, but as we just heard, may I ask your name?
Shlomi Stimler.
In factory, like Mr. Stimler Tainus is. Sorry?
We went to school
together. Well, you had a good stimme, and I had a schwache stimme. It's Rustam. You have someone who understands exactly what we're talking about. The factory dry heats it. Dry heating al pialoche is afir. They also cook it. Now the machloek is apostim. If you cook something and then you bake it, in other words, dry heat, have you lost the heta of ein bishel acha bishel? The Eglatal, the Sorge of Rebbe, known as the famous Shuvah Sefer Avnezer, and the Prima Godim, Gdol Aposkim, they tell you, what does it matter that you baked it after the Bishel? Bishel is Bishel, remains Bishel, and therefore the Bishel after that will be permitted as because of Ein Bishel Acha Bishel. So you have Bishel, you have Afir, you can go ahead, Minat Teure, and do Bishel. We're putting inside the Shailas of Shiva Chazor. That is the shit of the Eglatal and the Prima Godim. The Bialoche is not happy with it. Bialoche is a Shin Yud Ches Sifei, for those who want to look it up. And the time is that once you've baked the cooked product, you've taken away the full effect of cooking. As it were, you've turned back the clock. And therefore, Yesh Bishel Acha Bishel. Tainet, Rabbi Aida Zichron Yivroche, the way the coffee is made in the factory, you have a problem. Because it's first cooked, then it's baked, and who says you can cook it again? That is his time. And again, Rabbi Leo doesn't agree with this. He tines that dry heating does not have sufficiently hot air to give it the quality of baking. That baking which the Bialoka meant.
Sorry, it's over 600 degrees.
The dry heating.
Over 600.
Yes, but it's a short kufa, it's there to evaporate. It's not there to produce a baking effect. It's there for other reasons, as you know best. That is true. And therefore it's not a baking process in the normal sense of the word, where you want to affect and change the texture of the food by means of hot air. So, coming back, but either Tainus, you wouldn't have the head of Embishel Acha Bishel, but your Tainus, this baking, so-called baking we're talking about here, is not baking in the sense of our inyan. Now, at the end of the day, we have a heta of ein bishel acha bishel, which means you can al pi din, you could put it into keli rishon, into your Shabbos shining, but you can't, because hilchas shiva chazor. Can you put it into a second keli and pour on from the keli rishon? Sorry for the bad writing. It's keli rishon. It's on the fire. Here's the keli sheni. In other words, can you cook it? Pour from the keli rishon onto the coffee powder in the keli sheni, and al pi din it should be mutter. And there are poskim who actually mati it. Now some poskim, including Rav Vosner, Zichron Livroche, who say no, it would be better to put it into a keli shlishi. I should say that our falkol is not our main inyan. That when you pour the water onto the coffee powder, you're basically changing a solid into a liquid, and there is a problem, a rabbonim problem, not a bishul problem, a moilid problem. And therefore the right thing, the ideal thing would be to put it, the water into a keli shlishi, if you want to, also keli sheni, and then put the coffee powder on.
There's no coloring.
And there wouldn't be any moil because it takes time to change. Coloring with a magdin is not a problem.
The moil is in the keli shlishi as well. If you do it for a lot,
yes, because yes. It's in the
same problem.
Doesn't matter. It's not a shal of bishul. It's a shal of changing a solid by pouring water into a liquid. Well, that's a zaitige. Now let's come to the new type of coffee. The new type of coffee, as we mentioned already, is the right thing. It's a coffee bean. Coffee bean has been pre-treated in the factory, obviously. And then we get it in the jar, roughly, supposedly 10%, or some people know better, however much it is. And it's all together, and you do the same thing. You basically mavashle it again. You pour on from a keli rishon, or you put in a keli sheni. Is there any difference? So first of all, let me mention what the din is of a keli shlishi. Can a keli shlishi cook? Machloikis gedoy la poskim. In short, the Bach is machmir, chasm soifer is machmir. In fact, they have a rishon on their side, the yireim. On the other hand, there are gedoy la poskim who are makil. In Godem, there's a stire. Rav Moshe Feinstein, amongst others, is makil. And keli shlishi, I believe. On the Mishneh Berurah is a shver Mishneh Berurah, but it seems that in principle, the Mishneh Berurah holds the keli shlishi is better than keli sheni, at least when you have sniffing, when you have other mitigating factors. So a keli rishon obviously cooks. Keli sheni will cook kala abishel. We're always afraid that stump food is kala abishel. Keli shlishi is a machlokes. Mishneh Berurah is mitzadet lekole, and the other poskim, there are other poskim who are machmir, including the Yireim and Moreh Chazon Ish. Now, what is the problem with the new coffee? The Gemara Dr. Zoy, the Gemara says, if you take tzema, you put it in a yoyre, afa pi shekola to ayin, osa la hogis boy. You mustn't stir it, and Rashi says, you'll be over on Bishul. The Ran, according to some Gersos, also says like that. According to other Gersos, and Mishavur says, you're not over on Bishul, you're over on something else. At the end of the day, you put this tzema into the yoyre, big vat. Tzema wool. Sorry, I should have translated. I explained what's going on. And yet, you are oivak all the time, although kvar kola ta'ayin is already been cooking. And that begs the question, why should you oivak? The thing you have there, which actually colors the tzema or samonim, has already been cooked. Why is it also to cook it again? And this question the Rosh asks, and the answer is what's most relevant to us. The Rosh says, by summer morning, as long as you stir it, keep on cooking it, the summer morning will give off their taste. If you have a coloring agent, and it's a food which does the coloring.
Sorry, I don't think anybody understands the actual case. What's being done?
You've got tzema. Tzema is not a food, but something, let's say, you want to color.
It's wool.
Wool. Tzema is wool. Nobody here eats wool, I take it.
It's wool.
It's something you want to color.
Yes.
And you have inside food which has the effect of coloring other things. Certain types of plants, shoroshim, and you are basically cooking it. Your intention is to color the wood. You don't want to have those shoroshim for your breakfast. It does cook because it's shoroshim, it's edible. But your purpose is not to eat the shoroshim, but to make them color the wood.
So this was cooking from before Shabbos.
And has been cooking, doesn't matter. Yeah, from before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos.
And has been cooked. And therefore, what should be wrong with stirring it now on Shabbos and basically aiding the cooking process? What should be wrong? Ein bishul acha bishul. This kasha, the Rosh asks. And yet it says, in Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, and in Sif Yud Ches, easy, Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud Ches, that it is also to stir. It's already been cooked. What is the problem? Ein bishul acha bishul. Yeah, but that would be mitzvah for your fellow. So you've got churros who've been cooking, let's say, for 2 hours, 3 hours is edible. The longer you keep it on the fire, the better it gets. The fact that by stirring it gets better, or gets more geschmack, or more edible, so what? It's already been cooked. The answer is very simple, it's very important to us, we have a time limit. It's here, your purpose is not to eat the shoroshim that gives kay, that gives color. It's not to eat the samamonim, which impart taste. It's to derive from the shoroshim, or the samamonim, a non-eating benefit, either coloring or giving taste. Someone in give taste. You don't cook to eat them for their own sake. You cook them so that they impart taste to others. So, we come to the coffee now. Now, to the Chasam Sofer is Mazdar. If your main purpose, I'm basically repeating it in a nutshell, if your main purpose is to eat the cooked food, then as soon as it's fully cooked, we say it's Mvushel, Vehim Bishel, Acha Bishel. And the rationale in that is, that in the case of an edible food, the definition of cooking is to turn a non-edible into edible by means of heat. And you've done that. Once the heat has rendered the food edible, finished, it's been washed. The second cooking is not an oifti, it's not an achievement in the cooking sense, and therefore ein bishul acha bishul. But if the point of this food is not to make it edible at all, but you cook it for other reasons, for example, the cooked matter should color the garment, then yesh bishul acha bishul, as long as the cooking achieves something important, helps to color the semer, the wool, you are over on bishul, because bishul isn't only cooking for eating, it's also cooking for other purposes. And the Maharamshik explains, Maharamshik, by the way, was a Talmud of Chasam Sofer, the Levi Nefesh, Maharamshik explains the vote, since the roots continue to give color to the garments, therefore, it hasn't been, as Bashli says, called Sokoi, or Memele, the more you cook it, there's still a Melechus bishul. And the Sefer Pisrit Shuvah on Oichaim, by the way, the Oichaim Akziyas, Oichaim Alomdim, is not the same as the Pisrit Shuvah on Yoyotir. Pisrit Shuvah on Oichaim basically says the same thing, and Mishabu and Shah Akziyun quotes it very briefly. You wouldn't know, he just says, I'm Pisrit Shuvah, that's the Mishabu in Hilchas Bishul. And it's also Shuvah here in London, here from the previous London Hoof, Chesh for Eifoit, Chelik Aleph, Simon Ein Gimel. Now, what does that mean for our coffee? Somebody was more. What on earth does that mean for our coffee? You've got to have coffee beans. Truth is, coffee beans are mainly baked. So you have a shayl, first of all, is a bishul achafir. And time is short. Now, the bottom line is, yes, according to the view of the Mishnebuah, the katrele, it will be also to cook it. It's not, it's a chomer, but Mishnebuah's choysh is for the poskim, the yesh bishul achafir. The coffee beans, the new ones, in contrast to the old ones, haven't really been cooked, al pi halacha, they have been baked. That is the process. The question now is, you put them under the keli rishon, that's under the stream coming from the keli rishon, are you over on bishul? Well, you might say, ein bishul achafir. The Shabu would say, no, yesh bishul achafir, it is also to do it. But it's not lekula alma, and I definitely poskim wa mekel, the Shabu knows about that, and its bottom line is, don't do it with a katel. Question here is it worse? Is it worse? Now, why do you cook these coffee beans? And why are you out of them with the old-fashioned coffee, the soluble coffee beans? And the answer is because you want, why do you do it? Because you want to eat these coffee beans that have been pre-treated and ground? Is that so? The aroma. Somebody's mentioned before here, on the contrary, those little ground up real coffee beans, they settle at the bottom. You're not drinking them, you're not certainly not interested in ingesting them. You want them because of the aroma, the taste that they impart. Therefore, according to Chasam Sofer, you have a remarkable outcome. This is really the point of Rabbi Yos Tshuva. Here you will have Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. Yesh Bishul Acha Bishul. I must say that the Dr. Binyamin Mishkovsky was Moira asked that Lamaise people do eat coffee beans. You can get in the shops, apparently even under Ashgoche, but the Stam factory is not cooking these coffee beans to sell them as a food. They are cooking them, producing them in an expert way to impart taste, stronger taste than has been before, and obviously their bottom line is just that people should want it and it should sell. Although you might have some who cook the coffee beans for eating, which you can get in the shops, but that's not the purpose of this production. But the other times, the average person doesn't cook proper coffee beans in order to eat the coffee bean for its own sake. What we're doing here is we're cooking the coffee bean to impart taste, stronger taste to the water. And therefore we should consider it halachically as some among them. I'm not saying it's mamish lekula alma. There's a primi godim, mova mishabura shinu tres lama tes. Not like this. The mishabura himself is mitzayin. I mentioned before a sefer pisach tshuva. Ayin shomi says, and the pisach tshuva quotes the chasam sofer, which I mentioned before. The chasam sofer based himself on the rosh. Although there are other pirushim in the gemara and daf yutches, mishabura is choishish. Person should try and be mitayin the rosh. According to the rosh, you have here a problem of yesh bishul acha bishul. The question is, can you do it in a keli shlishi? Because it maybe doesn't cook. There are a lot of times as a name rois that these coffee is not just kala bishul, but it's extreme kala bishul. Kale kala bishul. Accordingly, even a keli shlishi, there would be in his bashul. And therefore you have a severe problem. How can you make yourself barista coffee on Shabbos? And maybe you can't. Because the oil will be on showing on Shabbos. Shabbos is not on sale for the highest bidder or the most lazy man. Shabbos is there for its kedusha. And the oil here is of Mus'av le kedusha. There certainly is a serious shaila with it. As a kiddush. Basically, I'm going to stress again, I'm not quoting myself, Ebin. I'm just quoting my Rebbe. And if you want to check in something in length, you can. I want to finish off in 3 minutes with a short vote. It's a very soistic vote. It's an approach to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Miram Toiras Moshe. Beginning of Zoysa Brok, it says, this is the book of Moshe, Ish Helekim. Ask the Rechaim HaKodesh, why does it say, Punkti Ish Helekim? We do not find that Moshe Rabbeinu is described as Ish Helekim. And also, Vezois, as everybody knows, the Vov Achiba, how does it connect to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu to go up on the mountain and you will see so you'll never get there. So what's the Vezois and the Hemshech? So in short, I'll tell you a story, but I've changed some particulars for reasons of privacy. It's the end of the war, the trains are shunting back and forth, the Nazis are on the losing in a big way, and Nebuchadnezzar's family are in a terrible, terrible state. Father is in the train, he hasn't got the koyach even to stand or to sit, lying flat. Son's got a bit more koyach. And suddenly the train comes to a standstill, and they see the sun from the window, that Nazi Machshemon Vezichron, the SS, are running away. The Master Eliza are coming. Father Hotnishka Koyach. Mamishko, and she hasn't had to drink for who knows how long. She says to the son, take a bucket, something, and go out and schnorr some water. Don't take it from the lake. They were resting the train next to the lake, because the lake is verseucht. How is it verseucht? Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Contaminated, because of course the canalization has gone to bust. The son comes up and comes back after a short time, gives the father bit by bit, and suddenly the father starts vomiting on both sides, and the son sees how the father's life is ebbing away. So the father says to him, where did you get that water from? So the son, as Ms. Vali says, Tate, I couldn't bring myself to knock on the door of a German and schnorr for water. I just couldn't after we've gone through by the Germans. I took from the lake. And this father realized that his life is literally ebbing away. He was very, very ill to start off with. And here the water probably caused Ruhr. So the son also realized that. And the son says to the father, Tate Leben, I have to start a new life. I have to come back to normality. I have to come back to a family. I have to come back to Porsche have a Seichla Yosha. Give me a brocha. Give me a brocha. And father looks at his son. That son was basically responsible for his ptire very soon. But he's not a father, he's not a tate. And he says to the son, a brocha mitoich ahav, because he loves his son. If you think about it, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's dream? To bring the Yidin to Etzol. To be Zoyche for Yishuv Etzol. To be Zoyche after all the tribulations in the Midbar, to come Alamuchan Lachalo. Why does it not work? Because the Yidin protested at last week's Sedra, Hukas, trouble with the water, and the way Moshe Rabbeinu reacted. Now he's going to die. You go up the mountain at the end of Azinu, with Shomer Thomas, you'll never see his dreamed of aspirations. He'll never make it into Eretz Hall. Next pasuk, v'zoy sabocha shebech Moshe ish v'elokim. And a bracha you have to give by Ahava. How can you do it? For that you have to love Klal Yisrael, believe von nefesh. At this point, the Torah chooses to write the Rova Chibah, the connection, Zois HaBocha, Ashaberach Moshe, who was an Isherikim. To have the ability to do that, you have to be a godly person. The Ebishter gave you to always appreciate Torah's Moshe.